according to John Frederick Coots. You all know who John Frederick Coots is, right? Of course. John Frederick Coots, in 1934, wrote the worst Christmas song ever written. Now you all know what I'm talking about, right? Dave knows. What's the worst Christmas song ever written, David Conway? If you're not careful, listening to Matthew chapter 24, you may get John Frederick Coots' version of the gospel, which goes like this. You better watch out. You better not cry. Wouldn't want any crying. You know, in that movie that somebody mentioned earlier, the big guy, he cries. Isn't that radical? Guys aren't supposed to cry. John Frederick Coots knew that. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jesus is coming. Oh no, Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad, so be good. For goodness sake. Sorry if you like it. It's horrible. It's everything that's worst. It's everything that's worst about certain presentations of the gospel. We used to sing, what's that song we used to sing to our children way back in the day? What? Oh, that's it. You know, okay, sing a verse. How does it go? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear, because your Father up above is looking down in love, and he's going to smack you if you hear the wrong thing. That's kind of the point. The last part's my paraphrase. So, it's this image of a scary, pinched, tight force out there that's got a list, is checking it twice, is watching out to see who's been naughty, and who's been nice, and knows which side of the ledger you measure up on or don't measure up on, and you're going to get your just deserts. And it does sound a tiny bit like this. About that hour and day no one knows, neither the angel nor heaven on earth nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark and they knew nothing, until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Woo-hoo-hoo. It sounds like it's trying to scare you into being good. But that's not the point. This chapter, and often when Jesus was speaking, he had a particular style of teaching. It's called the whack 'em up the side of the head style of teaching. Okay? And the point is to do one thing, but you'll miss it if you don't read this chapter in the original Greek. So you all go home and read it in the original Greek, okay? Because in the English translation, verse 42 says, keep awake, therefore. Okay? Keep awake. So what does that suggest about your condition? Hey? What does that suggest? If I say, keep awake, what am I saying about you? No, if I say, keep awake. Hey? You're already awake. If I say, keep awake, which I might, let's see, who do I need to say that to now? Who's looking really dozy?
It does happen.
So if I say keep awake, I'm implying, it seems to me, that you're already awake. But I don't know how the keep got in there. Because it's not in the Greek. The Greek is just one word. The one word in Greek is gregorete. Gregorete. It's only one word, not two. And it just means, I mean, there's not a really good English translation, which I guess is why we got the keep in there. It just means, awake! Wake up! That's two words, but we don't have, awake sounds kind of lame, but the implication is, if I tell you to awake, then what's your condition? You're sleeping. And you say, I'm not sleeping. I might be in a few minutes if he doesn't stop talking. But right now I'm awake. No, you're not. We're often, often asleep. We fail to see clearly. We fail to perceive what is going on in life. We allow ourselves to become unconscious. We allow ourselves to fail to perceive accurately what's going on. We live sometimes like sleepy machines, just going through the motions, day by day, just going through the motions. We are MIA. Missing in action. We're not actually present to our lives. And that's why Jesus comes along and whacks us up the side of the head. He's saying, wake up! Pay attention! Notice your life. This whole chapter, the point of this whole chapter is your life matters. Your decisions matter. Your choices matter. Your attitudes matter. Richard Rohr likes to say, how we do anything is how we do everything. There are no small decisions. There are no little choices. Every decision we make is tending us in a certain direction. That's why the prophet Isaiah, in our first reading this morning, says, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light. Let us walk in the light. Let us make decisions that are in the light, because all around us, we are in fact surrounded by darkness. There is darkness in us. There is darkness all around us. And to the degree that we are able, the challenge Jesus is giving us is the very one that Isaiah gave us, to walk in the light. I love the way he expressed, you know, I saw a movie this last week. Did I tell you that? Oh, yeah, I did. You really got to go. It's quite a remarkable film. And there's a moment in the film where Anna quotes the troll, Grandpabi. And Grandpabi said, I think maybe in the first film, I don't know, I've never really seen the first film, although a member of my family has seen it at least 10 times. And so I don't know if he says it in that film or if he actually said it in Frozen 2. But anyway, she quotes the troll, Grandpabi, who said, all one can do is the next right thing. Isn't that great? All one can do is the next right thing. You don't know what's down the road. You don't know what's on either side. We're surrounded by unknowing. There's so much that we don't know. Jesus was absolutely describing our condition when he said, about that day and hour, no one knows. And later, they knew nothing until the flood came. And later, you do not know on what day or hour your Lord is coming. We're surrounded by what we don't know. Everywhere we look, we don't know. All we can do is put one foot in front of the other and walk according to whatever degree of light we may have in this moment, at this time, and in this place. Jesus is calling us to wake up. So what does a woken up life look like?
Well, he goes on, I think, to explain what a woken up life looks like in the very next verses in Matthew chapter 24. And curiously, interestingly, we never read the next verses from Matthew chapter 24 in church on Sunday. They've been vetoed. Because if you thought 36 to 44 were harsh, well, 24 to 45 to 40, 51 are even more harsh. So I'm just going to read you one verse from this parable of a slave. Jesus asked, "Who then is the wise and faithful slave whom his master has put in charge of his household?" And then he goes on to describe what this slave, this faithful, wise slave, will be doing when the master comes. What are you going to be doing when the master comes? What do you want to be doing? Think about it. What do we want to be doing when the master shows up? Well, here's what Jesus thinks the faithful slave should be doing, the one who is awake. "Who then is the faithful and wise slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time?" That's what it means to be awake. It means to be a person who is food for others, whose life is given in order that those around us may have more life. It's a life that tends towards the light. And tending towards the light, it's a life that creates more light. When we are living in gentleness and kindness, we tend to create more gentleness and kindness around us. When we are living with this peace that we celebrate at this season of the year, then there will be more peace wherever we go. When we are awake to the truth and the beauty and the goodness that are at the heart of life, then we will grow in our ability to embody those truths and those realities. And make no mistake about it, that is who you are: goodness, truth, beauty, and light. That is your true nature. And those are, in fact, the strengths and the powers of life. In the movie, it's not the military that wins. In fact, the military, well, I won't tell you, because you've got to go see it and find out for yourself. The military don't win anything. They don't triumph. There's a moment in the film where Christoph is reunited with Anna, and he feels that Anna has betrayed him. And Anna agrees and is apologizing profusely for her failure. And Christoph looks at Anna and says, "My love is not fragile. My love is not fragile. The love that is born in this season of the year, the truth, the beauty, the light, and the goodness to which we are called are not fragile. Gentleness is not weakness. Getting your way is weakness. Imposing your will on others, that's weakness. Demanding that everybody in the world march according to your drum, that's weakness. Demanding that the people around you satisfy your needs, that's weakness. Strength is living in the truth of our true nature, which is self-sacrificial love." That's the whole message of Frozen 2. There are many messages, but the central message of Frozen 2 is that the power that makes the universe work is self-sacrificing love. Does that sound like any message you've ever heard anywhere in maybe church? Maybe Jesus? Maybe that's the heart of everything that Jesus did on the cross, was demonstrate that the power of life, the power of light, the power that conquers all the darkness in the end, is the power of self-giving, the power of making myself be food for others, allowing myself to be given to the world as an act of love and self-sacrificial giving. When we come to the table in a moment, and we receive a snippy little piece of bread and a tiny sip of wine, we take those things inside of ourselves. And we do that for two reasons, well, for many reasons, but two of the reasons. First reason is that we might know that the realities that are symbolized and embodied in that bread and wine live inside of us. Okay? Jesus was the embodiment in human form of our true nature. When you look at Jesus, you see who you truly are. And when you take communion, you realize that's what lives inside you. Love, goodness, truth, beauty. Like, and that's why we do this thing with the children. They were amazing this morning. So quiet. They just stop and they sit. And we do that so that they might know that when their hearts open, what they find there is who they truly are. They are beams of light. They are embodiments of beauty and love. And so are you. Some days it might be easier to see it in them than it is in some of us, but it's still there. It hasn't gone away. It still lives in us. And we need to go places where we're reminded of who we truly are. So I guess nowadays we need to go and see a Disney film. Or maybe we could come to church. And maybe that would do it. Maybe that would call us back to an awareness of our true nature. So that's the first thing. When we take communion, we're reminding ourselves of who we truly are, what lives in us. But the second thing we're doing is we're saying that the essence of life is food. And we are food. And when we're awake, we can be the food we were created to be. Because when we're awake, we see our true nature. We see that we are beings created for love, for gentleness, for kindness, for compassion. And when we see that, then that's what we feed in the world around us. We feed those qualities of goodness, truth, beauty, and light. Those qualities that, in the immortal words of Christoph, are not fragile. And so we take the next logical step, walking in the light, and we follow wherever what little bit of light we perceive may lead us, and we grow in our ability to be the people we were created to be. So as we sit together for a moment now, just let us rest in the truth of our true nature. Let us rest in the knowledge that Christ lives within us, that the power of light and beauty, goodness and truth, the power of self-sacrificing love, the power of gentleness and goodness that are our true nature, live at the heart of our being.